I'm good.
I saw it this past week, and I liked it.
Yeah.
I didn't love it. I liked it. I think people are going a little absolutely crazy over this movie, and it's good, but it's not phenomenal. That was my basic summing up of Black Panther. But I did like it, and I would see it again. Blockers, or as we all know, it is cock blockers, even though it's being called Blockers. There's a giant rooster in the poster.
Yeah.
Of course it's cock blockers. It's an hour and 42 minutes. It is rated R. It's a comedy. It was came out this past weekend. It's got a 6.6 out of 10. It made $20.6 million, ranking it at number 3 at the box office. Three parents try to stop their daughters from having sex on prom night. So it's pretty much kind of a reversal of, Jonah Hill and the kid in Superbad. So cock blockers, George. See it, rent it, skip it.
I'll probably rent it.
You gonna rent it? Yeah. I think I'd rent this one. I don't think I'd see it. But it looks decent. Looks like it's gonna have a few good jokes.
Yeah, and I'm interested in seeing how John Cena is on the big screen.
Mm-hmm. And we got two left here for the box office. There is Ready Player One, which is PG-13, 2 hours and 20 minutes, action-adventure sci-fi by monster Steven Spielberg. When the creator of virtual reality world called The Oasis dies, he releases a video in which he challenges all the users to find his Easter egg, and then you will find... And then you will find his fortune and rule the Oasis. It has 96.5 million total in 2 weeks. It made 24.6 over the weekend. 7.9 out of 10 on IMDb. See it, rent it, skip it, George.
I think I'm going to see this one.
Me too. I haven't seen it yet. I'm looking forward to it. I always like Steven Spielberg stuff. I'm always going to see a Steven Spielberg movie. Plus, Ready Player One is right up my alley.
What's funny is it's based on a book, and the book was always accused of ripping off things from Steven Spielberg's
right.
genres movies, and he's the only one ending up directing the movie.
So why not? Yeah. So why not have Steven Spielberg
right.
direct the book?
It just makes sense.
That just makes sense. So that's a big yes for both of us there. And then number one, interestingly enough, what toppled out Ready Player One is A Quiet Place, PG-13. It's a horror movie, drama, thriller. It's rated PG-13. A family is forced to live in silence while hiding from creatures that hunt by sound. It made $50.2 million in its first week. It's got an 8.2 out of 10. And it's directed by the guy, Jim, that was in The Office. See it, rent it, skip it, George.
I think it's a perfect one to rent for the Halloween party.
Yes, yes. I'm going to see this. I'm a big fan of horror movies, especially horror movies done well. So I'm a big yes for this one. So this is a see it from me and a rent it from George. Or you're going to see it at my Halloween party later on this year. So once again, this has been Watch This with Chris Earle. My guest is George Wolfenden. I'm here with you every Wednesday from 5 to 7 p.m. Thanks again, George, for coming in with your five flicks.
Thanks for having me.
And up next is The Big Picture with Shay and Derek. And next week, my guest is Paul Earle coming in with his five flicks. And boy, has he picked five great flicks for next week. Some really good ones.
Yes.
And great flicks today again, George. So again, Big Picture is coming up next. It is WMFO here in Medford, Massachusetts. Have a good night, everyone.
And you will undoubtedly hear it many more times as the days go by. Now, just in case you're hazy on exactly what it means, let me give you a rough idea. It means that the cost of your clothes and food has gone up to a point where the family budget has become somewhat strained. Well, that's one of those things. And you can't be expected to increase the family income. But there are some things you can do to help. For instance, take better care of your clothes. When you come home from school, change into old clothes before you go out to play. Take care of your health, because doctors and medicines are expensive. Eat well, but don't waste. Take your full share, but eat all you take. Try not to ask mother and dad to buy you things you don't actually need. Make the best and the most of what you've got. Try to be more than usually careful of your school equipment, such as paper, pencils, and so forth. Make them last and go as far as you possibly can. Remember that all members of a family must pull together at a time like this. So do your share. And you will undoubtedly hear it many more times as the days go by. Now, just
someday a friend may offer you a chance to visit the other side of a dream. Your ticket is a little packet of white powder called heroin. But every packet of heroin is different. You don't know what's getting into you. Some doses are so strong they kill. Heroin is so vicious that the criminals who make the big money in heroin don't use it. They know a lot of reasons why heroin is very, very dumb. We'll be right back. Maybe that's why they call it dawn.
WMFO Medford 91.5 FM. It is The Big Picture. Derek Gary and Shea Spillane with you until 9 o'clock tonight. 855-915-9636 is the telephone number. That's 855-915-WMFO. Yes, it's our call letters and our number.
So convenient.
Punch it into your phone. Be a part of the show. We love to hear from our listeners. Later tonight, it's been the only story anybody has been talking about for the last 2 days.
Which is both helpful and annoying.
Yes, Mark, Mr. Personality Zuckerberg, had an Ask Me Anything with Congress. And we'll go over what he's been talking about. A couple of interesting revelations came out of Mr. Zuckerberg's testimony in the last couple days.
Well, and I mean, what a dummy, because if I've learned anything from middle school sleepovers, you don't do the Ask Me Anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
Game.
I know. I think he was annoyed that he had to do it in person and couldn't just go on Reddit and have a bunch of Congress people there. And it's like...
type his responses at his leisure.
And it's here's one of the things that's ridiculous about this, all right, is you're sitting down in front of congressional committees, okay, because there have been major scandals impacting the identities, the privacy, and the American democratic system. But everybody only gets 5 minutes to talk to the guy.
I mean, how do you decide what to say? Like, if I sat down with Mark Zuckerberg, even before any of this broke out, I mean, I'd have an hour worth of questions.
Yeah.
Like, there would be so much that I would want to know, or not even ask, but say.
Yeah. But it's like, yeah, you get 5 minutes. Like, this is Congress, okay? Like, Mr. Zuckerberg can handle more than 5 minutes of questioning from Congress. And honestly, there ought to be a lot more time spent on each of these questions. I guess
absolutely.
I guess the belief is that if you give enough congressmen five minutes, or congresspeople 5 minutes, all of the questions that you would want to ask will be asked. And that gives Mark Zuckerberg enough time to evade elegantly.
Well, the thing is, one would hope that congressmen would piggyback on top of each other, knowing they have this time restraint. You know, like, this person asked this, and he didn't quite finish, and then the next person would come and say, so going back to this thing that this congressman asked you.
The Senate does that because they're typically, like, older, smarter people who've been in government for a long time,
yeah.
and they can pick up the phone and get on television anytime they want. The House of Representatives, not so much. You point a national TV camera at a member of the House of Representatives, and they will grandstand. It is what they are programmed to do.
Well, that's whenever I... No disrespect meant. Maybe a little disrespect meant.
Oh, please. We can disrespect Congress all day long on this program.
It makes me think of an episode of Parks and Recreation where... In the last season, actually, where Jim Barkley comes to Ben and says that he should run for the House of Representatives. He goes, this is Congress. Like, where bills become laws. Am I even qualified for this? And she's like, Ben, it's the House of Representatives. You might be overqualified for this. And that's, I mean, I've always kind of looked at it that way in terms of, like, House of Representatives, like, Diet Congress. Like,
I gotta say, to me, one of the most stunning things in the last 48 hours is that Seth Moulton somehow did not get in front of the cameras. That usually there's a camera around. That guy, he's like a moth attracted to a flame, but haven't heard anything from him. He got his name in the news cycle for something else, though. So, please.
Oh, well, please. Big giant high five to him, then.
Please, Massachusetts voters, don't forget about Seth Moulton. What have we got going on that's urgent and relevant, Shea Spillane?
Speaking of Massachusetts, in local news, disturbing details are beginning to emerge following the arrest of a mother and father in connection with the death of their 6-year-old daughter and injuries to their 9-year-old son in Fitchburg, Massachusetts. Shayna Pedroso, 37, and Martin Brito, 38, were ordered held without bail following their arraignments in Fitchburg District Court today. Both pleaded not guilty and are scheduled to return to court on April 18th. Pedroso is charged with 2 counts of reckless endangerment of a child and 2 counts of assault and battery on a child with injury. Brito is charged with 2 counts of permitting substantial injury to a child and 2 counts of reckless endangerment. District Attorney Joseph Early said police responded to a 911 call around 11:58 a.m. yesterday. When they arrived, they found an unresponsive 6-year-old girl and an injured 9-year-old boy. Both children were brought to the UMass Memorial Health Lions in Leominster, where the girl was pronounced dead. The boy was transferred to UMass Memorial Medical Center in Worcester with injuries that are considered non-life-threatening. According to court documents that were released today, responding officers observed that the boy had sustained serious injuries and bruising to his face. The girl had extensive bruising of various ages over her entire body. Court documents showed the injured boy told police he had sustained the injuries the day before when, quote, he and his sister were attacked by bullies, end quote. He also said his sister wouldn't drink the next morning, but the parents said not to call 911. Pedroso allegedly glued a wound on the boy's neck closed with super glue. Investigators also found handwritten notes on Pedroso indicating the children were bad and beaten on Monday.
Okay. I don't need any more details about this case.
Yeah.
I don't. And I
was going to say, even like I went back and forth on how much to include in this story.
You might as well, because it's out there, but it's horrifying.
Yeah.
How is this happening? I assume that these kids are in school.
Yeah. How is there not, like, I mean, 6 years old, that's first grade. 9 years old, that's fourth grade. How are they not looking at them being like, something is clearly wrong?
How are these kids covered with bruises and wounds and nobody is alerting anybody about this? How is this happening? How do we as a society, because in a case like this, yes, the parents are the ones that killed that little girl, but everybody around that family plays a role in this happening.
Well, I was going to say, that's the thing, is that the 911 call came from their neighbors.
Yeah.
And that this cannot by any means be the first time that this has happened, that they've heard screams, that they've had cause for concern. That's why I thought this was, I mean, it was also just the most, it's the most compelling story that's happened locally. But at the same time, I thought this was important to include because, I mean, if, not to sound like the subway, but if you see something, say something.
Yeah, I mean, I can give some credit to the neighbors for making the call that finally got the police over there, but what led up to this?
Exactly, like, yeah. This isn't the sort of situation where this is the first time this has ever happened. This is a thing that happens all the time that went too far this time.
Yeah. But it's been going.
Not that there's any amount of far that is okay.
But here's the thing: any amount of child
hit
abuse,
a child. Yeah, that's what
any
I'm
amount
saying.
Of child
like
abuse
any
is
amount
unacceptable.
Of, absolutely. But I'm saying, like, if it had been reported the first time there was any sign of this.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah. Clearly these parents are out of control. One of them is obviously a real piece of work. Mm-hmm. And again, where are the neighbors? Where are the teachers? Where are all of the people?
The guidance counselors, the principal.
Yeah, who are supposed to be engaged in looking after the welfare of the child. Now, here's an interesting fact about Massachusetts law. Teachers, educators are not required to provide any sort of duty of care for children who are in school. There are state laws that if you suspect a child is being abused sexually, you have to report that. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to physical abuse, nope, nothing. Unless the teacher only has an obligation under the law, and we learned this in the Lynn bullying case a couple of weeks back, the teacher only has a responsibility under the law if the teacher is the primary actor of the violence against the child. So teachers can't hit kids, but teachers also have no obligation to stop kids from hitting each other under the law.
Yet another example of where we're kind of falling behind.
Yeah. A lot of states require that. Like if you see violence between kids and you're a teacher, you have to put yourself in there and break those kids up.
Yeah.
And that's something that should be on the books in Massachusetts.
Absolutely.
But, you know, clearly the little boy is being coached by the parents to lie. And he's so terrified of the parents that he's going to do that. That's where you get the whole, well, bullies did it story coming from. And I'm sure that...
And that's an easy cop-out this day and age. I mean, that's where we've been so focused on the whole bullying thing. That I'm sorry, I don't mean to say, oh, the whole bullying thing, like it's nothing. But I just mean that it's become an easy thing to point to say, oh, this is what the fault is.
Right.
Like, this is where the fault lies.
But at the same time, these kids have to be coming to school injured every single day.
Oh, yeah.
The little girl's covered in bruises.
I was saying, she's covered in bruises, and they said, like, they spanned back, like, a month. Like,
yeah.
This was, like, there were some that were nearly healed.
So, for that entire month, nobody thought to say anything. I would like to see the police go in and talk to the teachers, and talk to the principal, and talk to the counselors, and talk to everyone in that school community and say, why didn't anybody say anything here? Nobody noticed this, and now we have a six-year-old child dead. That little girl deserved better than that, way better than that. And we're not in Fitchburg over here, so we can't put the blame on ourselves. But I am more than happy to project a lot of blame in the direction of people in the Fitchburg area. Family members, relatives, anyone who suspected this kind of abuse was going on. That little girl's death is on your head.
Absolutely. Well, in national news, Speaker of the House Paul Ryan announced today that he will not seek re-election in November. Mr. Ryan said he will serve until the end of this Congress in January, which will mark 20 years in Congress for him. He insisted that he will be leaving his this majority in good hands with what he believes is a very bright future, while others argue that this may be the slow slant of the GOP.
I don't know that I... We knew this was coming.
Yeah.
He said this was going to happen last fall.
I mean, they're dropping like flies, though. It's... I mean, I know he wanted to be vice president very, very badly.
He didn't, though.
He did back in the day.
He did in the sense that there were certain agenda items that he wanted to get through Congress that he saw being vice president as a way of achieving that goal. One of his big goals was the tax cut. He got the tax cut.
True.
And as soon as he got the tax cut, he said, okay, I'm done. I'm out of here. I'll stick around for a little while. You guys go get, you know, pass the midterms, get some new people in here, and then I'm going. But he didn't want to be speaker. They had to con him into it and talk him into it. He goes home every single weekend because he'd rather be with his family.
Well, as I was going to say, that I do definitely think is true, is that he definitely made a point to say, one of the main reasons I'm doing this is he has teenage kids.
Yeah.
And I, of all people, know the importance of having parents around when you're at that age.
So maybe 10 years from now, 5 years from now, we will see Paul Ryan again. But for now, he doesn't want to be there. And, you know, yeah, there's a lot of talk about, oh, this is all a reaction to Trump, and the Republicans are dropping like flies, and everybody's bailing out left and right. There are a lot of very old people in the Senate and in the House of Representatives who should have been gently eased out the door many years ago.
I was going to say, before any of this.
Those are all the people who are leaving. You don't see any of the young up-and-comers. You know, you don't see your Ted Cruz's being like, hey, I'm getting out. I can't take it anymore. Or any of the other clowns that ran for president the last time around. They're all sticking in the game. It's the old people who are going. And I, no, I don't see any kind of a pattern here.
WNFO. It's, I mean, it is interesting just because it's, again, one of those situations where you see both sides of the story. And one can never really totally tell which one has the most validity. Because it could just be all these people dropping out of the Trump's cabinet and Trump's advisory board and ABCDEFG. It could all be just circumstance.
Well, he's firing a lot of people.
But as I know, which is not circumstance.
Yeah,
but
that's him. That's his style.
But you fired. but the people that are willingly bowing out, a lot of it could just be, sometimes I think we compartmentalize things in thinking that it has to be 100% about this.
Yeah.
Whereas, I mean, like I said, Paul Ryan's main reasoning is like, I want to hang out with my kids. They're teenagers. They're going to be adults soon. Like, the sheer fact that he spent 20 years in Congress means he hasn't been around that much.
Yeah.
And I mean, I thought it was very interesting though, just because, I mean, he was like this close to being our vice president.
I know, but after that, he was sort of like, look, I didn't want to be here then.
Like, whatever.
I don't want to be here now. I want to go home. Please stop bothering me. I'm gone in January. So you kids have your fun. In world news, Syria is about to face a barrage of U.S. missiles in response to a chemical weapons attack in Douma that killed 70 on Saturday. Russia has threatened to shoot down any missiles fired by the United States to protect Syria and maintains that the Bashar al-Assad regime was not responsible for the gas attack. President Donald Trump tweeted that the missiles were heading to Syria on Tuesday morning, adding, quote, Russia should not be partners with a gas-killing animal, end quote. Statements from Russian officials suggest that any missiles would be shot down and that Russia would retaliate directly against U.S. positions in the region.
Fun.
There may have been some softening from Sarah Huckabee Sanders late this afternoon saying, well, it's not necessarily a missile attack. But when the president is on Twitter first thing in the morning saying, hey, the missiles are coming, I think it's fair to assume that the missiles are coming.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the other thing that the media at large either doesn't know or isn't telling you is there's this belief in certain quarters that Donald Trump just gets on Twitter and writes whatever he wants whenever he wants. Okay. Every now and again, that does happen.
I was going to say, you can't deny that that happens at least 15% of the time.
It happens when he's talking about individuals and things like that. With something like this, this isn't Donald Trump laying in bed in his pajamas being like, my missiles are better than yours. This is not what's going on. These conversations have already happened in the background with Russia, okay? Russia knows what our position is on chemical weapons. Assad uses them. We are going to respond. So we have to take some sort of action. Russia has done everything that they can to deflect and delay and all the rest of that, but they know this is inevitable. So what you're going to see is Russia is very quietly going to move its people out of the way. The United States is going to drop some missiles on targets that Russia is fully aware of. There will be some casualties on the Syrian side. Their air defenses and their air capabilities may be degraded. And then life goes on as usual. All of the rest of this rhetoric that you're hearing about, we will shoot back and we will shoot down your missiles and all the rest of this, is complete and utter theater. That's all it is. It is an active theater by the Russians who have to maintain a good show for the sake of their alliance. Because if you look weak in your alliance with al-Assad, who is one of the biggest liabilities that they have, then you look weak in your alliances with everyone. And suddenly all of your other allies start questioning, what does Russian alliance even mean?
Yeah.
Can we count on them to support us? Nobody is going to stick their neck out for al-Assad. The guy is gassing his own people. Vladimir Putin is not going to enter a shooting war with the United States over that. They'll make it seem like it's going to happen. They'll talk a good game about it.
I know I've said this many times before on this show, but so often the interactions of our world leaders just feels like girls in middle school.
Yeah.
It's It's big. Oh my God. Well, you know what? I'm going to show you that I'm this powerful and this is how I'm going to do it. I'm not going to actually do anything, but I'm going to threaten to do something. Like, it's all so petty and, I can't say that on the radio. Measuring of certain extremities contest.
Yeah.
That was the most PC, non-FCC angering way I could think of to
my
say
missiles,
it.
My missiles are bigger than yours.
Yeah, my missiles are bigger than yours.
Or no.
No, I'm not going to actually do anything with my missile. I'm just going to show you how big my missile is. Ooh, 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 ooh.
Like, it all just gets, I mean.
Well, apparently our missiles are smarter than theirs are. So we've got very smart missiles. Well, I'm glad we're developing such smart missiles in the United States. Folks, there is not going to be any kind of a giant escalation between Russia and the United States.
Knock on wood.
It won't happen unless somebody.
I know it won't happen. But by saying that it won't happen, you're jinxing that it may indeed happen.
If we went really rogue and took out a Russian destroyer, then you're going to have a problem. Yes. Then Russia is going to shoot back at us. But if we're taking out Assad airstrips or Assad planes or Assad chemical facilities in response to this attack, Vladimir Putin isn't going to stand up for the guy. The international community would have Putin's head if he did that. Putin will look to every opportunity to antagonize.
I would say, like, he will have everyone who isn't already against him against him.
He'll take advantage of every opportunity to antagonize the United States and to make things difficult, partly because that's what Russia does.
They're really good at it.
And partly because they have an alliance with Syria. There are strategic and diplomatic reasons for them to do that. But they're not going to shoot at us. We're going to tell them where the missiles are going. They're going to move out of the way. Things will blow up.
They're going to move out of the way.
It'll be another day in Syria. That's what happened the last time we fired missiles. Now, maybe the fact that the missiles haven't launched yet may be a sign that we're not going to bomb over this one, that maybe there is some diplomatic path forward. I don't know what that would be. And I think everyone would just as soon see some more missiles fall on Syria. And the other aspect of this is, in addition to those tweets saying that the missiles are coming and they're very smart, smartest missiles ever, by the way, American missiles always win, according to Donald Trump. Donald Trump also lamented the state of the relationship between the United States and Russia and said things don't need to be this bad between us. And, of course, called out the media and the Mueller investigation, which, as I've been saying since 2016, is not doing this country any good at all. And here is a prime situation where if we had a positive relationship with Russia and these chemical attacks were happening, you can go in and say to your ally, why are you enabling this monster?
Knock it off.
Will you please tell him to stop that? Or we are going to respond militarily. Instead, we're in a continual adversarial state with Russia. If shooting somehow does result from this, again, not going to happen. But if it does, the sort of general animosity that has been fomented by the losing side in the 2016 election will be a major reason for it. And that will be shameful. So,
I quote Rodney King, can't we all just get along?
World War III not happening this weekend.
This week.
In sports news, Patrick Reed claimed his first major title on the PGA Tour, staying one shot ahead of Ricky Fowler, Rory McIlroy, and Jordan Spieth to win the Masters at Augusta on Sunday with a final score of 15 under. Reed had never won a major in 17 attempts and never broken 70 for 18 holes in his previous four Masters. The key to his success could be his clubs. Reed has no equipment sponsor, so he was able to fill his golf bag with the clubs that he likes best. Tiger Woods finished the Masters tied for 32nd at one over par. So Woods was the big story and didn't do too well, but at least got out there and finished the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody was talking about Jordan Spieth and Rory McIlroy after the first couple days. Like, they're going to win. Nope. Here comes Patrick Reed out of nowhere.
Patrick Reed sneaking right in there.
One of the fun things about that sport is you never truly know who is going to win.
Oh, and it's mind-numbingly boring. That's the other
It's
magic thing about that.
Not really. It's, if you watch golf on TV, you know that it lulls you into a sort of zen state.
All I know is when it's playing in the background when I'm bartending, I literally fall asleep standing up.
But it also keeps your patrons calm.
This is true.
And you should want that.
Well, in entertainment news, comedian and former Silicon Valley star T.J. Miller appeared in federal court yesterday for allegedly calling in a fake bomb threat involving an Amtrak train traveling out of Washington. The 36-year-old actor, who was arrested Monday night at LaGuardia, faces charges of intentionally providing false information to authorities for claiming there was an explosive device on a train passing through New York's Penn Station and Connecticut on March 18th. Miller faces up to 5 years in prison if found guilty. A judge in New Haven, Connecticut, allowed him released on a $100,000 bond. Federal prosecutors said Miller called 911 to report a female passenger who, quote, has a bomb in her bag, end quote, and described the woman with brown hair and a scarf. When Amtrak investigators were alerted, the train was in Connecticut and forced to stop at a station in Westport. A bomb squad conducted a search of the train, but found no evidence of an explosive. This sounds like a broken heart thing.
This story is far more complicated than what you just summarized. And I'll throw in a couple of the details about this.
Bring it.
First of all, the feds intercepted the wrong train. So T.J. Miller had gotten off or been thrown off in New York. We're not sure which. There's conflicting reports about that.
No, he wasn't on the train.
No, he was on the train when he phoned in the bomb threat and then got off the train in New York. So the first problem is the train that they intercepted was the wrong train, the first train they intercepted. So they checked everybody on that train, let that one go. Then they checked everybody on the next train and found out that T.J. Miller had gotten off in New York, which is why he's only being charged with this now. Miller and the woman that he accused of having the bomb were apparently both drunk out of their minds and screaming at each other.
I mean, it was the day after St. Patrick's Day. That's not entirely shocking.
In a first-class car, which prompted him, they believe, to phone in the bomb threat. I think 5 years is sort of the minimum sentence that this guy should get. I'm more than happy to put T.J. Miller away for 20 years, just so we don't have to deal with this nonsense anymore.
Yeah, and this isn't even close to the first time he's had a run-in with the law as well. He has also been arrested for suspicion of battery after a driver accused him of attacking him and requested a private person's arrest. The guy's a jerk. He's been a jerk since before any of this broke.
There's bad behavior. You know, there's being a bad boy, and then there's being a complete idiot.
Yeah.
And T.J. Miller is well into complete idiot territory here.
Hear.
I just...
Well, and it's a problem that happens with a lot of people who... I always say that the super famous people know how to handle themselves for the most part. It's the somewhat famous people who get this. It's almost like nouveau riche syndrome, where it's like this new level of power that makes them think they're invincible. And I mean, it's how he got into trouble. It's how a lot of people have gotten into trouble, is just being like, I'm invincible because I'm a little bit famous. And guess what? You're not.
I think you're on to something there, because the thing about T.J. Miller is he's not famous because of anything that he did. He's famous by association.
Oh, exactly.
For being on a show.
He's like all of Adam Sandler's friends.
Yeah. And it's sort of like, hey, don't you know who I am? And it's like, no, and I don't care.
Yeah.
Like, you look vaguely familiar, but I can't think of anything worthwhile you've done.
Like, were you in a Geico commercial or something?
Yeah. It's like, Meryl Streep never has to say to anybody, don't you know who I am?
Because it's like, yeah, you're Meryl Streep.
Oh, that's Meryl Streep. There's George Clooney, and there's Jack Nicholson. It's like...
Well, and that's even when I worked at that sushi place in Malibu when I lived in L.A., we had a lot of celebrities come in, and it was almost like a scientific formula where if they were beyond this amount of fame, they were very nice, very humble, very private, very, I'll be nice to you, just please help me be left alone.
Yeah.
And then there were the people 2 to 3 levels below them that were like, I want a table right by the window,
yeah,
and I want to make a big stink the entire time.
Yeah.
And it was all those B-level or barely famous celebrities.
Thirsty climbers is what you're talking about right there. Yeah, you do not want the thirsty climbers around. T.J. Miller isn't even a thirsty climber. He's just a jerk.
Yeah.
You know, he was a jerk on a train. He phoned in a fake bomb threat. It's like here's the
who
thing.
Who even does that?
Here's the thing.
I've heard that on on television shows that purposely do have ridiculous plot lines. That's not something a normal human being actually does.
Let's respect the law. I will accept that T.J. Miller gets 5 years for phoning in the false threat, okay? Let's put him at that Supermax out in Colorado where they stick you in a hole for 23 hours a day.
Then see how special he feels.
Yeah, because I think a little soul searching might do T.J. Miller some good. Just a suggestion. In technology news, with the humans on Twitter, please stand up. Looking at data from July 27th to September 11th, 2017, the Pew Research Center found that two-thirds of tweets linking to digital content came from automated programs known as bots, not from people. Pew discovered that 78% of links to sports sites came from bots, along with 66% of links to news sites. The favorite pastime of bots remains pornography, with bots accounting for 90% of all tweeted links to adult sites.
I hate how many comedians I know that have paid for these pretend people to follow them so they look cool.
Stop.
I swear to God, I know way too many comedians who you look and you're like, oh my God, that's so impressive. They have 20,000 followers. No, they have maybe 3,000 followers. And 17,000 robots.
Yeah, they don't even have the 3,000 followers. They're probably, you're dealing with several rounds of bot traffic. And
like, oh, this bot that I think is a real person follows this person, so I'm going to follow them too.
Remember the thirsty climbers we were talking about a moment ago? That is exactly who this is built for. Thirsty climbers love bots. But the thing that's alarming about this isn't that there are a bunch of middling celebrities trying to boost their online cred by spending money for fake followers and fake tweets. It's that these are news organizations doing this, and these are sports companies like ESPN, for example. I'm not calling them out specifically. Pew did not name names in this. But if we're talking sports content, well, we know where a lot of that's going.
Yeah.
ESPN, Bleacher Report, USA Today, Sports Illustrated, we know who the players are in that space. And if Pew is finding 76% of the links on Twitter to that content are coming from bots, well, it's a pretty fair bet that somebody in those organizations is paying for this traffic.
Yeah. And that, I think, is a lot of the problem. Internet, I love you. You're helpful in a lot of ways, whatever. But that, I think, is a lot of the problem with the internet is that it used to be that things were at least somewhat genuine.
Yeah.
like fandom and your reach and how accomplished you appeared was usually based on fact. Whereas now you can basically fake you can give the illusion of having people follow you, of being successful, of having any sort of scope, when it's actually, you're like, oh, that's the girl from the Delia's catalog.
Well, it's a little bit like the steroid era in baseball.
Mm. Yeah, it's exactly like that.
When everyone is doing it, you have to do it. And everyone is doing it, so yeah, people are going out and getting the bot traffic.
Yeah. But it is. I mean, that really is a perfect analogy because it's tiresome to even think about that. I mean, so many people work so hard to honestly come upon this, to honestly accomplish this level of notoriety, this level of fame, this level of accomplishment. And then there are people who just be like, oh, I'll pay $2,000 for that. To appear to be as good as this person who actually worked really hard for it.
Yeah.
It's exhausting.
Yeah.
But I do love, though, seeing comedians and oh my God, they have 3,000 followers, and then clicking and being like, oh, all of these are fake.
The bottom line, kids, just don't believe anything that you read on the internet. It's either bots or Russians.
Don't know why. There's no sun up in the sky. stormy weather.
If you like winter, you're going to love the 10-day, 5-day forecast. We're doing 5 days.
11 days.
The winter, the endless winter has got me confused here is what's going on. Tonight, kids, cold. Lows around freezing under partly cloudy skies. Tomorrow, chilly. High in the mid-50s. Afternoon showers, lows in the mid-40s tomorrow night. That's balmy by recent standards. Friday might actually feel a little bit like spring. Temperatures in the mid-60s, partly cloudy skies, lows around 50 degrees Friday night. Saturday maybe is your winner for the weekend. Showers in the afternoon, high around 60. Lows fall back into the 30s Saturday night, setting up Sunday with light rain. Temperatures around 40. Day and night. There's just no movement in the thermometer on Sunday. And then maybe we get back into the 50s on Monday. And sort of it looks like we might be staying in that range in the near future. So, there you go. Winter rolls on. 855-915-9636 is the telephone number. It is WMFO Medford. When we come back, did you hear all the other stories that caught our attention this week?
The yield grade. Although the yield grade... Have you ever noticed a number and a shield along with the quality grade mark on the meat you buy? Well, that's the yield grade. Although the yield grade is important to the retailer, you don't need to be concerned about it unless you're buying a large cut of meat like an untrimmed wholesale cut. The yield grade tells you how much usable meat you will have after the waste is removed. A yield grade 1 has the most usable meat and a yield grade 5 the least. To learn more, write How to Buy Meat... Agriculture Radio, Washington, 20250.
If you're a single man under the age of 35, you'd probably like to know what the ladies are looking for on an online dating site. A guy who had a few drinks and later got pulled over for buzz driving. See, that could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. And doesn't a guy who's back living with his parents but calls them my roommates just scream, Mr. Right?
Buzzed, busted, and broke. Because buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
WMFO Medford, 91.5 FM. You are listening to The Big Picture. I am Shay Spillane. With me, as always, is my wonderful co-host, Derek Gary. We're going to be here with you till 9 o'clock. If you want to give us a call at 855-915-9636. For those of you who like letters better, that's 855-915-WMFO. Of course I messed it
up. Okay, yeah. If you got to be cute about it, you got to get it right.
Yeah. Come on, Shay. Look alive. Now, one of my personal favorite parts of our program called Did You Hear? Where we quiz each other on the various news stories from the past week. And for me, I'm going to start with... Netflix.
A couple of different Netflix things going on. Is this the tax evasion story? We talked about Ryan Murphy a couple weeks ago. What was the other Netflix? I saw more than one Netflix story. Netflix teaming up with Spotify? No, that's Hulu.
Mm-mm.
Oh, remind me.
Former U.S. President Barack Obama is in advanced talks with Netflix to produce a series of high-profile shows. Under the terms of the proposed deal, Netflix will pay Obama and former First Lady Michelle Obama for exclusive content on the video streaming service. Obama said he will not use his Netflix shows to respond to President Donald Trump or conservative critics, and has instead talked about producing shows highlighting inspirational stories.
That's not bad.
Yeah, I mean... That's in terms of like what presidents have done after they left office. This is, first of all, kind of keeping with the times. And second of all, the fact that he wants it to be It's a very Obama-y thing to do. I know you didn't love Obama and don't love Obama, but it's cool that he's not. I mean, he could have. I'm sure that Netflix, when they reached out to him, were kind of hoping that it would be this whole big, like, Trump, like, scorched earth thing. But it's cool that he wants to do it. It seems like it's going to be like the video version of O Magazine.
I don't believe for a second, by the way, that he's not going to use this to respond to Donald Trump.
But he'll do it like, nope, that's not, I was going to say hand over fist. That's not the proper idiom I was looking for. But he'll do it, if he does, he'll do it in a very subtle way. He'll do it. It won't be like screw Trump. It'll be like, look at this very inspiring story that also shows how wrong Donald Trump is, you know. But he won't, you know what I mean? He'll allude to it and never actually say it, if anything.
Yeah. Yeah. Everybody's going to be studying every single line of that. Everything that he says.
Everyone's going to break it down. Oh, linguistics professors, get super pumped to break this down.
Yeah. He's going to be accused of throwing shade after every single episode. And we'll see what happens with that. Mitzi Shore.
Let me see. Nope, got nothing.
She's no longer with us. Passed away this morning at the age of 87. And you, Shay Spillane, should know that.
Why should I know this? Oh, because she owned the comedy. Oh, it's Polly's mom.
Mitzi, yeah. It's not Polly's mom. Polly Shore was the one mistake that she made in life. Everything else that she did was right. Mitzi Shore, for those who have Showtime, I'm Dying Up Here, is based on her. The lead character is Mitzi Shore. Everybody is operating under basically pseudonyms. Like, all the characters in the show are meant to represent somebody else because they couldn't get the rights to the book and they couldn't get the rights from the comics. But she was hugely, hugely influential in American comedy. Some of the people,
I knew who she was. I just didn't know what. I didn't realize she died today.
Yeah, she died. Some of the people who she nurtured and turned into stars included Robin Williams, Jerry Seinfeld, Gary Shandling, Byron Allen, Chevy Chase, Sam Kinison, David Letterman, Jay Leno, Freddie Prinze, Andrew Dice Clay, Jim Carrey, Elaine Boozler.
I would say if you open Google and look at Twitter, the first three names to come up are Polly, obviously, but then Marc Maron and Jim Carrey. Wow.
Yeah. I mean, yeah,
that used to be the joke when I lived in LA was that Polly won the genetic lottery by being her son.
Yes.
And she is a legend. Or, I'm sorry, she was a legend. She is a legend.
She is probably one of 10 people who shaped the direction of comedy in the United States from the years 1970 to...
I would say from the early 70s to now.
Well, I'd say probably 1970 to like 1995, 2000. Is when you started to see people who were coming up through the Groundlings and some of those other...
Yeah.
You know, the Comedy Store was still an essential destination for stand-up comics, mm-hmm. but there were other ways in.
Yeah.
Pre-social media, pre-going your own way on YouTube and Facebook and all the rest of that, you had to be in one of those big clubs.
Oh, yeah. I felt, honestly, like one of the biggest honors of my life was being able to perform at the Comedy Store. And it was one of those things, you know, I'm not religious. I barely believe in anything. And I say barely because I kind of sort of entertain the idea of something. But I remember being on stage at the Comedy Store and just thinking, like, I can feel the energy in here. Like, I can feel where I'm at and what has happened here. And, she made that possible.
That club was what got you on TV. That club was what got you Carson. And once you got on Carson, you got other opportunities. So that's... You know, Robin Williams would not be anybody if he hadn't gone...
Oh, of course, yeah.
...that route. Same thing with Jim Carrey. Same thing with a lot of these. That's the route that they took.
Yeah, that's where they got seen.
And Mitzi Shore had an awful lot to say about their work ethic, about their private lives, about the kind of material that they were doing. She crafted them and shaped them into something that was marketable. And
whip them into shape.
And they all had a tremendous debt of gratitude to her. Yeah. So, legend in American entertainment.
R.I.P. Mitzi Shore. I can't believe I didn't, well, you know, I worked all day. I missed the last 6 hours of news that I didn't check in with. And you know, I had to check in with important things like Mars Bees.
Mars Bees?
Mm-hmm.
Spell that.
M-A-R-S-B-E-E-S.
Two words?
One word.
Mars Bees.
Mm-hmm.
You're making that up.
I promise you I'm not.
That's not a real thing.
Tis. NASA is funding preliminary work on the development of flapping wing aerospace architectures, or Mars Bees,
yeah,
as a tool for exploring the Martian environment. The little bug-inspired robots, each about the size of a bumblebee, would sport battery-powered wings and various sensors. They would make brief flights, sampling the thin Martian atmosphere and reconnoitering the terrain below before returning to their home base, which would probably be a rover to recharge their batteries.
Can we just chuck rovers up there and be done with it? Do we need bees?
Yeah, because rovers can only do like a large span amount of investigation. Tiny, tiny little robots are going to be able to seriously like sample little tiny square inches of terrain.
I don't like bees.
Well, you know, that's really not NASA's problem.
They sting me and they make me angry. They're bad. Bees are bad people, is what I'm saying. Backpage.com.
Backpage.com.
I'll be stunned if you don't know this one, too.
Backpage.com. I remember reading about this and I'm completely blanking.
That may have been a stealth insult, by the way.
Oh, shut up. I'm completely blanking. I know I've read about this and I can't.
Seized by the feds and shut down last week. If you go to backpage.com, you can still see the federal seizure notice on their homepage. Its owners...
Oh, yes, the sex thing.
Yeah. Its owners now
That's a technical term, the sex thing.
The sex thing. the owners of Backpage now face charges of money laundering and facilitation of prostitution, because that's what Backpage.com was for, kids. That's where you went to get your hookers. Now, here's the kicker in all of this, okay?
That's not already the kicker?
People have been arguing that Backpage should be shut down for years because people were trafficking children on Backpage, and the owners of it seem perfectly cool with this. They made a little bit of a show about, oh, we'll put some tools in place and we'll ban certain words. So they ban certain words, and then the people trafficking children come up with new words, and you can still...
It's just like when you
traffic
want
children.
It's just like when you want an eighth of pot that you call it a slice.
Yes, exactly.
It's the same.
So now the feminists, air quotes, the feminists.
He's air quoting right now, just because you guys can't see.
Are
it's
all up in arms. And the organizers of the Women's March are decrying the seizure of Backpage.com as bad for women because it was a safe space for sex workers. This is the pussy hat crowd that we're talking about, by the way.
This is, okay. Well, first of all, as I believe I've talked about on this program, I've always thought that prostitution should be legal and regulated because it's unnecessary. It's the oldest profession, first of all. But if it's regulated, it's harder to have someone murder you in the backseat of their car.
It is not the oldest profession, by the way.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
What's the oldest
profession? There's no possible way that it could be.
It's literally referred to as the oldest profession.
I know, but that's a misnomer and a joke. There is no way that it could be the oldest profession.
Why is that?
Because in order for a prostitute to get paid...
Then the person that is soliciting her services must have some form of currency.
Must have something of value to exchange for that service. Therefore, the oldest profession is farming or gathering or hunting
or whatever.
But see,
that's the thing is that's not a... Profession. A profession is when you provide a service.
Farming is a profession. I grow food.
Yes, but there's a difference between it just being like general currency. None of these prostitutes are getting paid in bushels of corn.
In the olden days, before we had hard currency, that's what they were paid in.
Well, okay. One of the oldest professions.
Yeah.
But I've always been in support of it just being legal and regulated because, you know... When you're at, when you're at the Bunny Ranch in Reno, no guy can kill you in the backseat of his car. Look, because there's video cameras and bouncers, and it's all regulated. Neither here nor there, though. It's the fact that someone's saying, you've ruined the safe place for prostitutes.
Here's the thing.
One of the funniest statements I've ever heard in my life.
But the thing is, it's not, because the people who are making this statement, mm-hmm. the organizers of the Women's March, know full well when they're making this statement that this was a site that facilitated trafficking in children. They know this. And that doesn't matter to them. Making sure that prostitutes are safe is more important to them than whether or not some 14-year-old girl is being pimped out across state lines. That is horrifying.
Yep.
That is positively horrifying. And this organization loses every single shred of credibility it has as a supposed defender and protector of women when it is willing to sit there and condone the trafficking of children. Sorry, you're done at that point. I have no more use for you or anyone associated with you. So the next time one of these Women's March people gets all up ons and starts saying, hey, what about this, what about that, ask them about Backpage. And then ask them how they can support an organization that defends a website that trafficked children.
Hang on, let me write that down in my planner.
Yeah. Just bring it up.
Humboldt, Saskatchewan.
It's in Saskatchewan, which is in...
Thanks, that's super helpful and
Canada,
totally what I'm talking about.
Still, I think that's in Canada still.
It is.
Humboldt, Saskatchewan. They got a moose problem?
No.
Humboldt, Saskatchewan.
Do you want another hint or do you want me to tell you?
Yeah, give me another hint.
Hockey.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That was the accident that happened over the weekend. Mm-hmm. A bus carrying a youth hockey team. These weren't high school kids, apparently. This was
They were tweens.
It was actually an intramural team because some of the kids were like in their. There was one kid that was 20 that was in there. I thought it was high school kids originally, but it's an intramural team.
I would say it was like 14 to 20.
It was a junior hockey team. Yeah. Was traveling to a competition when their bus collided with a tractor trailer truck, killing 16 of them instantly.
15
instantly. Two more died at the hospital.
Well,
are we up to 17 dead?
Well, what's worse is that the family and friends were already stunned, but one of the dead had been misidentified.
Ooh.
Because apparently all of the players, their team name was the Broncos, had dyed their hair blonde for the team's appearance in the playoffs, and they all had similar builds because they were all hockey players. So they said the body of Parker Tobin had been mistakenly identified as that of Xavier Lavelle. And it said LaBelle was actually one of the 14 injured when the team bus was hit by a semi-trailer truck that ended up surviving. So they had told Xavier's family that he was dead when he wasn't. Mm. And they told Parker's family that he was alive when he wasn't. And it was just one of those really freak accidents. It was nobody's fault. It just... was literally a situation of circumstance.
It looked like, from the one photo that I saw, the top of the bus had been sheared off.
Oh yeah,
and
it literally collided like with a semi.
And I don't know how
semi,
you shear off the top of a bus like that, except the semi isn't moving and the bus is, or.
Yeah,
I don't know the circumstance of the accident.
I'd say the picture is, you can look up the picture on Google. It's really quite terrifying.
It's horrific. And there's no blood or anything in it, but just you look at the bus and you're like...
And you're like, it's, I mean...
Oh.
All I can think is some people were decapitated.
Oh, absolutely. Like, yeah, they were killed instantly in this accident. And it's horrifying. This, by the way, is not the first time that an accident like this has happened in Canada. There was one around 1994, 1995 with a similar situation. Bus hit a truck and, you know, a dozen young people were killed. Tragic.
Yeah.
Absolutely tragic. And the thing that's amazing, because this is one of those things that makes parents worry, You know, they're like, I don't know if I want my kid playing sports and being on this team. There are so many young people on buses going around to games every single weekend.
Yeah. It's like when you hear of a plane crash and you're like, oh, I shouldn't get on a plane. It's like, well, thousands of planes take off every day. And this is one in a thousand, in tens of thousands, in hundreds of thousands.
When the accident happens, it's going to be devastating and absolutely devastating. But the chances of that accident happening are incredibly slim.
Yeah, and if anything, every time one of those happens and you're not on it, the problem.